Father God, who wants us to know you, you are not hiding, you are speaking and revealing yourself. And so we pray in your kindness you would do that now, and we would be those who hear, who understand, who know you better for our time together now. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll come to that passage in Numbers in just a second. I just want to begin by getting you to think of a series of relationships and requests that you might make. Think, for example, of a next-door neighbour and asking them for help with a practical task, something in the garden, you need to move a bit of furniture, whatever it is. Think of your boss at work, if you work and have a boss, and you want to ask for an extra day off for something you have to do. Think of your parents, if they're still around, and asking them for money because you want to buy something significant. Different sets of relationships, different requests being made. There is a common factor in play in all of them. You are asking for something that requires the favour of the person you're asking. Think now about how you would feel about making such a request. You might feel quite confident and at ease about going to your boss. You might feel pretty nervous. It would all depend, of course, about the person and their attitude to you. I mean, think of the neighbour, for example. You might immediately think of yourself thinking, well, if I had to move that bit of furniture or help taking that tree down, I would ask that neighbour. I wouldn't dream of asking that one because they're a bit grumpy. It's all about their attitude to you. It's all about whether you think they are kindly disposed to you. So think now of your relationship with God and asking things of him. How would you think of God's attitude to you and how he would respond? Do you think of him as gracious or grumpy? Kindly disposed to you or reluctant? It may be you're here this morning, you don't know that much about God, you're finding out more about the Christian faith, that's brilliant, and you might be thinking, what is the answer to that question? How does God feel towards us? What is his attitude? It may be you know lots about God, and in a sense you feel like you know the right answer to that question, because we've already spoken and sung about God's graciousness to us. I want to ask, how do you actually feel? What do you think God feels towards you? I want us to consider that question of God's attitude to us from this passage in Numbers. Let's look at it together. Have it open, will you? Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 onwards. It is an instruction from the Lord God to Moses, and Moses is the leader of God's people at this stage of history, and it's an instruction from him to tell Aaron and his sons. And Aaron is a priest. We'll come back to who the priests are in a second. But the priest, the chief priest, if you like, and his sons, who will be priests after him, for them to say something. So God speaks to Moses to tell Aaron and his sons so that they will pray in a certain way. And what they are to do is to pray a prayer of blessing. That is what we are looking at here. You see how it starts in verse 23? Thus they are to bless the Israelites. It ends in verse 27, I will bless them. And the prayer is the bit in the middle, and it begins with, "The Lord bless you." It's a request for God's blessing on his people. Now, God's blessing is his favour to them. It's like his smile. It's to know him and his goodness acting towards you. And that idea of blessing is unpacked in this prayer. There are actually, if you look at it carefully, there are six requests that come in three pairs. Let's just look through them. Verse 24, it's the Lord bless you and keep you. So bless you, smile on you, be good to you, and keep you. That is, protect you, guard you, defend you. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord's face shining here, it's like the sun coming up, shining with warmth and light. God is radiating his light and goodness into your life. And is gracious to you, that is showing you kindness and favour, and doing it when you don't deserve it. That's the thing about grace. The whole idea of grace is, it's not someone being kind because you've done something for them. It's someone being kind when you don't deserve it. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance, or some translations say turn his face towards you and give you peace. The turning his face or lifting his countenance, that's lifting his face towards you. That is to pay attention to you, to be attentive to you. And so act for you. In English, we'd talk about someone turning their back on you, kind of metaphorically. In other words, they're ignoring you. They're not paying attention to you. They're not doing anything for you. They're turning their back. This is the opposite. This is God turning to you to be attentive and act for you, to care. And lastly, to give you peace. And peace here, this is not feeling calm rather than agitated. It's not peace instead of anxiety, which is how we can often think of that word. Peace here is not the absence of war, you know, peace instead of conflict. The word for peace here, it's more like harmony and wholeness. It's not just things not being bad, it's everything being right, everything being good. And this actually is kind of the high point of the prayer. It's slightly hard to see in English, but actually the phrases grow, they get longer, those three kind of couplets, and build to this, to know God's peace, for everything to be right in relationship with him and relationship with each other. That's the prayer for blessing from God. And it's summed up in verse 27, so they will put my name on the people of Israel and I will bless them. It's an interesting idea, isn't it? Putting my name on them. Why does God put it? What does that mean even? You take my name, Graham, and I put my name on you. It's like, it's my name, it's not your name. What are you doing? See, for us, names are just identifiers. It's Graham, not Gregory. It just specifies the person. Names in the Bible don't just identify somebody. They describe and almost sum up somebody. They represent all that they are. And it's particularly true of God's name here, written as the Lord in little capital letters there. It's who he will be to them, who he's promised to be. It's what he'll be like in relationship with them. And so having his name on you, that's to know him in all that he's promised to be, knowing all of his goodness, all of his kindness to you. They will put my name on them and I will bless them. Well, that's the prayer. It's a prayer for blessing from God. Well, let's think then, what does that tell us about God? And first of all, it tells us about God's desire. See verse 22. The Lord speaks to Moses and he says, tell Aaron and his sons, speak to them and say, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. If that's God's instruction, what does that tell us about God? Well, it tells us, first of all, God wants us to know this blessing. He initiates this. He says, go and tell them to pray this prayer so that the end result is I will bless them. God is a God who wants to bless. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Larson cartoons, usually just little one-picture cartoons of things. There's one I remember. It had a picture of God, a kind of archetypal God, big long beard, old man, sitting in the clouds of heaven, and he's sitting with a kind of computer monitor in front of him, like a CCTV, lots of little screens of people going around their daily business, and God's kind of watching them. So God's watching his world, and there's a keyboard in front of him, and his finger is hovering over a button, and the button has got a word written on it, and the word is smite. So God is sitting there looking at people going out and thinking, who shall I hit, basically? Whose life shall I wreck? Who shall I smite? There's some people's picture of God. That's what God's like. This tells us God's finger is hovering over a button labelled bless. I want to bless people. I want to be kind to people. Now look, as I say that, I need to be clear. The Bible is very clear. God will turn his face away from people who reject him. He will bring his anger on people. There's no ducking that. We reject God. He will ultimately reject us and punish us for that rejection. My point here is not that God will only ever bless. He will punish, and that would be right to do. My point is that's not what God wants. God wants to bless people. That's his desire. That's why he institutes this prayer. Secondly, this tells us about God's plan. If we back up from this prayer and it's here in Numbers and just sort of step back a little bit and think about the flow of the Bible. You know, we were made to know God, to live with him as our Father, our King. We were made to live under his blessing. Back at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, God creates the world. He creates a special place, the garden. He creates Adam and Eve. And what do we read? He blesses them. That's what he wanted, them to live under his blessing, to know that goodness flowing into their lives. That is then wrecked by Genesis 3 because Adam and Eve turn away from God and throw him off, turn their back on him. And God's curse comes into the world at that point. But because God's desire is to bless, God's plan is to bring his blessing back, if you like. So if you move on to Abraham in Genesis 12, God chooses Abraham, and what's it? He makes lots of promises to him, but his great promise is, I will bless you. And through you, and through your descendants, I'm going to bring blessing to the whole world. That's God's game plan for the world. a world that deserves his curse, to bring his blessing. And he chooses one guy, Abraham, and then through Abraham's descendants, I'm going to bring my blessing into the world. And we see that start with the people of Israel, who are Abraham's descendants. And that's why we have this example here of God wanting to bring his blessing on those people. And this leads all the way to Jesus, because Jesus is that ultimate descendant of Abraham. And it is through his life and death and resurrection that we today can know God's blessing. In fact, it leads all the way to Jesus' return and the new creation he'll bring, because that is the day we're told there'll be no more curse, only blessing. That's the day when we'll see God's face and know his smile completely. So this desire to bless is what drives God's plan of salvation. And so it's what leads to God's action. He's made it possible for us to know this blessing. See, notice here, Moses has to talk to Aaron and his sons. I said Aaron was like the high priest, the chief priest. That's why they are the ones to be told to use this prayer, because God, at this point in history, God worked through these priests. They were like his intermediaries, mediators. He did things for his people through them. They represented the people to God, and God did things for them, and they passed that on to the people, as it were. And so, in this instant, God gives them this prayer. They pray it, and God will answer it. They, the priests, will put my name on the people, and I'll bless them. Aaron and his sons have the power, as it were, to bring this blessing. To put it differently, you see, because of God's desire and his plan, he's then instituted the method. It's like a parent who wants to leave money for their child in the future. They set up a fund, they appoint a trustee or whatever, and they say, I want you to have my money. Here's how you'll access it. Go through this person. They have the power to give it to you. God says, I want you to know my blessing. I've given Aaron and his sons the ability to bring my blessing on you. The priests will pray for you. Oh, that's how it worked then. Of course, this has now been fulfilled in the great high priest, who is Jesus. We don't have Aaron and his descendants anymore. But this is what leads to God's actions in and through Jesus to bring his blessing about. We are actually those who deserve God's curse. But God works through Jesus, who lives perfectly, who only deserves God's blessing and yet dies on a cross to take our curse for us, that we might know blessing instead. He's the new high priest who now prays for his people. God has acted in and through him to bring his blessing on us. We read from Ephesians 1, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, through Christ. So we've got a prayer which tells us about God's desire and his plan and what he's done. So let's finish by thinking then about how we relate to God. How do we approach God? How do we think of our relationship with him? Now, some people have examined religions and described them as having different shapes, which I think is quite helpful. Some have been called an N shape, like a little N, up and down again. Yeah, little N shape. And the whole point is it starts at the bottom, it goes up and comes back down. In other words, the way this religion works, it starts with us. And it starts with what we do or what we offer God, the right ceremony, the right sacrifice, the right prayer, the right way of living. We do the right thing. We send it up, as it were, to God. And God goes, yeah, that's the right thing. And he then sends down some kind of blessing on us. I mean, at its worst, it's basically a vending machine view of God. Put in the right money and you'll get something back. Do the right thing, God will give you something. It's the performance-related pay view of God. Put in the extra hours, God will give you more at the end of the day. But the other shape is a U, which starts up and comes down and goes back up again. And so it starts with God, and he's the one who acts first. He sends something down to us. He sends blessing, and he gives it freely, graciously, not in response. It's because of him and who he is. And we receive it, and then all that we do back to him, as it were, is all by way of response to the blessing he's already given. We don't do things to him to get or to earn, but in the light of what we've been given already. Do you see, those are two very different ways of thinking of God and relating to God. I hope you can see very quickly this is the second, this is the U shape. This is God instituting the prayer of blessing in the first place. His people haven't done anything. He's just said, I want to bless you. I want them to pray this prayer and bring my blessing. It's there in the emphasis on his name in it. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face. The Lord turn his face or lift his countenance. The Lord will do these things in and of himself. It's there in the wording. Be gracious. Be kind even when you don't deserve anything. The way we are to relate to God is not by offering him something first, but rather seeing and responding to what he offers us. In becoming a Christian, we see that we deserve his curse, but that he kindly offers us blessing because of Jesus. That's the very start of the Christian life. And that dynamic continues all the way through the Christian life. It is, in fact, one of the most common and persistent lies about the Christian faith that we need to do something to get God to bless us. We have to pull the right strings. We have to do the right thing. It's not true. If you're looking into the Christian faith, maybe you've come and you're thinking, you know, even coming here, God will like me more for coming here to church, and I'm learning about what I should think and how I should act and what I should do. And if you're thinking, so that God will like me and bless me, no. That's one of the most common lies. See, come back to those scenarios at the start. The confidence with which you might approach someone, how you would feel about asking. It would turn, as we've already said at the beginning, on who the person is and so on. It would turn more specifically on how the relationship with them works. Oh, I did something to offend that neighbour. You know, I bumped their car last week, so I'm not going to ask them. Unless I think of them as someone who is so gracious, so kindly disposed, they'd overlook that. You see, God wants us to know him and think of him as the God who wants to bless us. It plays out in personal life. We very easily, even if we know better, we very easily think that if we obey God more, do more in serving him, read the Bible more, pray more, etc., then God will bless me more. And it's an end shape. It's a vending machine view. And it's tricky, because you ought to be clear, Those are all good things. It's good to obey God. It's good to serve him. It's good to read his word and pray. Of course it is. They're all good parts of relating to God. They're not why he'll bless us. That's because he's a God who wants to bless. It will play out in different ways when we fail. We might fail majorly, significant, maybe just low level, ongoing. And of course, when we fail in the Christian life, when we are aware we've disobeyed God in our words and our attitude and our actions, you know, we admit that, we ask for forgiveness. We did that earlier in our service. We're not casual about it. But if we think that means now God is kind of against us, like perhaps I shouldn't ask God for anything just yet, like I wouldn't ask that neighbour just yet, then I've misunderstood God. This means we don't do deals with God. You know the prayer that says, God, please, please, please do this, and I promise I will. Basically doing a deal with God. No, we ask God to do things and we say, thank you, you're a God who wants to bless us. And so I can ask you with confidence. It plays out in church life. I've spent most of the last 25 years leading different churches, and I could so easily think, if I do the right things, if I preach the right sermons, if I organise church life well, if I pull the right levers, then we will know God's blessing as a church and we will grow and so on. And again, it's tricky, because those are good things. It would be good that I preach good sermons. That would be great. We mustn't be negligent or casual. But ultimately, they are not why God would bless the church. Wonderfully, that all starts with him and his desire and his plan and his actions in Jesus. As someone involved in all sorts of different types of church ministry, I really hope God will bless people through me and what I do. I am wonderfully reassured that God will bless people despite me. Because that's the sort of God he is. And so in our relationship with God personally and your relationship with him as a church, your confidence, your reassurance, your security rests on him being a God of blessing who wants to bring his blessing into your lives through the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you that this prayer gives us a window into who you are, into your heart. Thank you. You wanted Aaron and his sons to pray this prayer so that you would bring your blessing. And thank you. That's what's driven you to send your son, the Lord Jesus, that we might know your blessing in him. Father, please, wherever we are with you, whatever our understanding is of you, would you take that truth and bring it home to us, seal it deeply in us. Or whatever is happening in life and whatever we kind of feel, as it were, at the moment, that we would know truly you are a God of great blessing. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.